first reading this morning is Psalm 121. It can be found in the Red Pew Bible in the Old Testament, page 498, or obviously on the screen behind me. One of the many Psalms of David. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in, from this time on and forevermore. Here ends the first reading.
Thanks. Well, here we find ourselves exactly a week away from Christmas. And we're not looking at any of the Gospels. We're not looking at any of the Christmas stories with baby Jesus or the shepherds or the wise men. We find ourselves smack dab at the beginning of Romans. Okay, so just a little quiz. Why are we looking at Romans? What's our theme for Advent this year? Prayer. Okay, so we have been looking over these last 3 weeks from the very first Sunday in Advent at this theme of prayer, because I mentioned, you know, that is probably an area in the life of this church where we can probably improve, and we can do a little better with how we as a congregation pray, and we can probably do a little better how as individuals we are able to spend that time that's devoted and dedicated to our relationship with our Savior. Last week, I was so encouraged by the feedback you all gave me from the sermon, where we mentioned that we wanted to start off our prayer time by simply saying, God, I'm sorry for not being the person that I know that you want me to be. The potential that I have, I know I haven't realized. And a number of you told me about how you actually heard answers back from God this last week on things that have been on your heart and that you've raised up to him. You got an answer in an email. You got an answer by people who, not an email from God. I saw someone's head pop up there. But you actually you also ran into some people you hadn't seen before, and they answered a prayer that you had on your heart as well. So Advent, and it may feel like this has nothing to do with Advent, this whole topic of prayer, but it does, because if our hope for Advent is that Jesus is going to come back, and that's our hope, and we know he's going to come back, then when he comes back, if we haven't had that relationship with him, if we haven't had that time, that intense time of one-on-one with him, then when he comes back, we're not only not going to be ready, but we're not going to be in a position or in a place where we're going to be able to take advantage of his presence in our midst. So welcome to this last Sunday in Advent. And how was it this past week to pray simply at the very beginning of your prayers, recognizing that we are the clay in the hands of the potter? I hope you learned something this past week. I know I did. I had mentioned 2 weeks ago what a great week we had. Well, last week was a really good week too. We actually got the check in hand from Rutters, which was nice, who, again, recognized our food pantry. But then just completely out of the blue, two other businesses, the Creamery that has great ice cream and Sugar on Top that has awesome donuts, called. So these two businesses, you see how I'm plugging them, right? They called just out of the blue and they said, hey, do you happen to know any families within the community who just might need a little extra blessing? This hasn't happened in past years. Yeah, we know some. We know some. And so they reached out again through the church. I hope you realize how happy it makes me to see First Presbyterian kind of becoming the hub of social ministries here in this community. There's nothing that makes me happy, and it's not about making me happy, right? But I am so, so excited to see how God's hand is able to work in this community through you, through the work of this church, and through how we're just being willing and able to step out in faith and in confidence, knowing that God is going to have His way in that way. You know, there is something to be said for expecting something and maybe not getting it right away when we're speaking about prayer. And today, the main emphasis and the theme of our of speaking about prayer is praying with the hope that you're going to get an answer, right? That's what Brett talked about in his children's sermon. So today, our fourth theme is praying with the hope and the expectation that God is going to answer you when you pray. And that doesn't always come about, does it? Or at least we don't think that always comes about. I think of kids when they're waiting and expecting something and they don't really fully believe it until they can tangibly see it and touch it and feel it. When we were in Florida, we had a couple of acres and we thought, hey, it would be a great idea to get chickens. We got chickens. We got five of them, and spoiler alert, they all met an untimely death. But before that happened, they would not lay their eggs. I mean, it took them forever to lay their eggs. So the kids were, our girls were starting to think, you know, maybe this really isn't happening. Maybe our chickens just don't lay eggs. And then Bethany was out in our yard and holding Rosie, one of our chickens, and I think squeezed her a little too hard. And an egg just came right out. I mean, seriously. And so the girls were all excited. And so they realized, you know what? This really does happen. This really can be true. There's something for kids in hearing over and over again that something is going to happen. But until it actually happens, until you have physical proof, you don't really believe it. How exciting it is when we hope for something. When we wish for something that we desire, something we've prayed for, something way more important than a hen laying an egg, when that happens and we can see God's hand in our lives, something we've been waiting for, that's exciting. And to be able to see God at work. Scripture tells us, you shall ask and you shall receive. But how many of us have been asking, right? How many of us have found ourselves at that place where that prayer is constantly on our mind and on our hearts, and it's been years, and we have asked, and we haven't received. I think every person here can relate to that. There are prayers that we pray that we feel just haven't been answered. How do we explain that? I think our scripture today, when we talk about praying with a certain hope, a certain expectation that God is going to answer, I think we're going to be able to provide somewhat of an answer. So four sermons on prayer, I'm recognizing this week, just simply is not enough. It just scratches the surface. I would love to do a sermon series on the Lord's Prayer where we kind of take apart each phrase of the Lord's Prayer. I would love to look at the different prayers of in the Psalms, especially where we read about prayers of adoration or prayers of confession or prayers of lament. Because how can the psalmist go from my God, why have you forsaken me, to then just turn around and be able to say, I will praise you with the timbrel and the lyre. Because that's what the psalms are, right? They're prayers. Speaking of the psalms, guess what's coming up January 1st, right? Not 90 days, it's a 150-day challenge. So January 1st is the first day of the 150-day challenge. If you're not familiar with it, you can pick them up on your way out. Every single day, you're going to be reading a psalm for 150 days because there are 150 psalms. And you have a journal here where you can write in, and the theme of the journal is, Who is God to Me? But these psalms are prayers. And while we make our way through these 150 psalms, you're going to recognize all sorts of different prayers. Even those prayers where the psalmist says, God, where are you? Where are you in the midst of this? So Calvin gave us four rules to an effective prayer life. Find the time and the place. We started by saying spend 5 minutes. I hope you are itching to do more than 5 minutes, you're welcome to do that. The second one we saw was pray for what you need. And if you're just jumping into now, this fourth Sunday, this sermon series, please know that when we say pray for what you need, it's not pray for what you want. Because our heart and our will is so matched with the Lord's when we find ourselves in prayer, and needs to be, that whatever we're praying for, we know is what God wants in our lives as well. The third one last week was pray with confidence in God and not in ourselves. And finally today, pray with the certain hope of obtaining what you request. Let's go ahead and let's go to Romans chapter 1, verses 8 through 15. This is the last time we're going to be looking at this Roman scripture. Romans chapter 1, verses 8 through 15. Starting at verse 8, this is again the Apostle Paul writing to the church in Rome, but if you want to, imagine he was writing to the church in Strasbourg. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is proclaimed throughout the world. For God, whom I serve with my spirit by announcing the gospel of his Son, is my witness that without ceasing I remember you always in my prayers. I ask that by God's will I may somehow at last succeed in coming to you. I'm longing to see you, so that I may share with you some spiritual gifts to strengthen you, or rather so that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, I've often intended to come to you, but thus far have been prevented, so that I can reap some harvest among you as I have among the rest of the Gentiles, because I'm a debtor, both to Greeks, to barbarians, both to wise and to the foolish. Hence my eagerness to proclaim the gospel to you also who are in Rome. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Loving God, we do ask you now that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be worthy and acceptable in your sight. For you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Bernard Shaw, in his play, St. Joan of Arc, y'all remember Joan of Arc, that famous French young woman martyr. And she's in front of a panel of inquisitors, and they're her critics, and she insists that she hears voices, that she hears a voice, rather, that comes from God. Can you imagine in this day and age what that would look like? Even the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, to defend himself, said, you know what? I was on my way to Damascus, and I heard this voice. How would we view that? How would we see him, right? Or Joan of Arc in Bernard Shaw's play. The voices I hear are the voices directly from God. And one of her accusers says disdainfully that there are voices that come from your imagination, is what he says. And then Joan of Arc replies and says, I know, but that's how God speaks to me. What a great, confident response to criticism that is often leveled at prayer. Isn't prayer just something of a self-help program, right? Those are some of the criticisms that we hear in culture and in society. Prayer doesn't really make any difference except to the person, because it kind of just makes them feel good. It doesn't have any impact on the greater world. It doesn't have any impact except upon the person. It's all more or less, some people would criticize and say, a byproduct of our imagination. And maybe there are times as we're praying that we think the same thing, because we're not getting any kind of an answer. We're not getting any kind of a response. There are times when we feel like prayer has no effect at all. Times of tragedy. I'll never forget a friend of mine who was an elder at a different church, and he tragically lost his son, and he came into my office and he said, Bob, I no longer believe in the God that you do. I know God exists. I know God loves me. I know God is gentle. I know God is kind, but God is powerless, he said, in the face of death. It is the only explanation I have because an almighty God would have answered my prayer. I didn't have an answer for him, right? And it was in that moment where I knew I just had to listen to him. I didn't throw scripture back at him. Well, the Bible says, I really didn't say anything. And I couldn't convince him otherwise if I had said anything anyway. You know, there are times where we wonder if God is listening. And if God is, then why isn't he answering? Why isn't he answering? And so we find ourselves like Sisyphus and Camus, who's shaking his fist in anger at God, or the psalmist who says, "Oh Lord, how I wish you would dash the children of my enemies against the rocks." Right? These prayers of anger that we wonder, God, where are you in these moments and in these times? If we are to pray with a certain hope and a certain confidence, how do we do that? Especially in those times. So what we're going to do now, and you're going to have to keep up with me, you're going to have to stay with me, because we are going to look at Scripture where we see repeated over and over and over again a certain hope. And a hope that doesn't come from us, but a hope that comes from not only Scripture, but comes from our Creator God, who says, "You need to trust me. You have to believe in my promises." And we're going to see that over and over again. So get out that little red book in front of you in the pew if you didn't bring your own. And we're going to be making our way through. The first scripture we're going to be looking at is James chapter 1. Or if you have it on your phone, feel free to open up an app, but don't play games. James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. The author, James, says, if any of you is lacking in wisdom, ask God. If any of you is lacking in wisdom, ask God, who gives to all generously and ungrudgingly, and it will be given to you. But ask in faith. Ask in faith, never doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For the doubter, being double-minded and unstable in every way, must not expect to receive anything from the Lord. So here Scripture tells us to pray without doubting, with confidence, even though, and this is the hard part, right? Even though our lives are filled with events, our lives are filled with circumstances that only help to create doubt. Pray with hope. Pray with confidence. Pray with the assurance of the promises that we find repeated over and over and over again in Scripture. And Jesus knows this reality in which we live. And he knew it was the same reality that his disciples are living as well. So he goes to his disciples, and turn now to Luke chapter 18. So he tells his disciples in Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8, a parable. And it's a parable so that his disciples, in the midst of their lives, would never lose heart. That's part of doubting, right? Is losing heart, is losing confidence. Because he knew that it's human nature in our time of prayer to lose heart. He knew that we doubt when we pray, especially when we don't feel like we're getting that answer, or at least certainly an answer that we want. And today, as each one of us are modern-day disciples, we are called, as Jesus told his disciples, to not lose heart, but rather to pray with that confidence. So listen to these scriptures now. We're in confirmation class, we do the sword drill. You know what that is? Where you open up the Bible and say, and the first one to find it wins. I'm not going to have you raise your hand. But here are the scriptures that tell us not to lose heart, to pray with confidence, to not doubt. So we're in John chapter 15, verse 7. The Gospel of John chapter 15, verse 7. Jesus is speaking and he says, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish. Ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you." Remember what we talked about, whatever you wish. It's not frivolous. It's not just whatever comes to mind. Because whatever we wish, we talked about that first time, Whatever we wish is going to be the desires and the heart of our Lord and Savior as well. We're not going to wish anything that is separated from what the Lord wants in our lives. John 14, just the chapter right before John chapter 15. John 14, verses 13 through 14, Jesus states, "I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it." Then later on in the Bible, really, really close to Revelation, 1 John chapter 5, 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. "And this is the boldness that we have in Him," the boldness, "that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us." There we go, referenced again. If we ask anything according to His will. And the assumption is that if we are in a relationship with our Savior, in a consistent, constant, daily relationship with our Savior, then we know what His will is. Back to Matthew, chapter 7:7. "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door shall be open." We can keep going. 1 John chapter 3, almost that whole chapter. Matthew 21:22. Yeah, y'all are looking up. I'm flying through them now. Matthew 18:19, Mark 11:20-25. "Truly I tell you," Jesus says, "if you say to this mountain to be taken up and thrown into the sea, and if you do not doubt in your heart, but believe, what you say will come to pass, it will be done for you." So whatever we ask in prayer, believe that you've received it, and it will be yours. So John Calvin tells us to pray with a certain confidence, not a timidity, but with the knowledge that what you are praying for is God's will. It's not your own will, and God is already working on His plans to fulfill and to answer that prayer. And one of my favorite examples of this, and we've looked at the sermon in Joshua about 3 or 4 years ago, so I want all of you to open up to Joshua chapter 3. My favorite example of what does it mean to pray with a certain hope, even when you're not seeing the results. Even though you know that this is kind of risky to pray in this way, or this is kind of risky to take steps in this direction. Joshua chapter 3, verses 7 through 17. Here we find the Israelites just about to enter the promised land, something that God has told them that they were going to be able to do. But they have this Jordan River in front of them that they have to cross. So how are they going to do it? So again, the promise of the Lord is that this land is going to be yours, but there's this barrier, there's this river. Look at chapter 3, verse 7. "The Lord said to Joshua, 'This day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, so that they may know that I will be with you as I was with Moses. You are the one who shall command the priests to bear the Ark of the Covenant. When you come to the edge of the water of the Jordan, you shall stand still in the Jordan.' And then Joshua said to the Israelites, 'Draw near and hear the words of the Lord our God.' And Joshua said, 'By this you shall know that among you is the living God, who without fail will drive out from before you a whole bunch of Hebrew names.'" Verse 11, "The Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth is going to pass before you into the Jordan. So now select 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe, and when the soles of the feet of the priests who bear the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, when they rest in the waters of the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan flowing from above shall be cut off, and they shall stand in a single heap." So the people, they set out from their tents to cross over the Jordan, and the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant were in front of the people. Where were the priests? In front of the people, bearing the Ark of the Covenant. Now the Jordan runs chilly and cold. Oh no, wait, sorry. Verse 15, now the Jordan overflows all its banks throughout the time of harvest. And so when those who bore the ark came to the Jordan, and the feet of the priests bearing the ark were dipped in the edge of the water, the waters flowing from above stood still. Verse 17, while all Israel were crossing over dry ground, the priests who bore the ark of the covenant of the Lord, they stood on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan. The priests had to go first, stepping in the water. The spiritual leaders had to be in the middle of the Jordan. They literally had to put their foot in the water without realizing if God was really going to answer that prayer or not. What if God doesn't answer that prayer because the Jordan is overflowing its banks? We just might get swept away. And so often we want to hear God's voice on this side of the Jordan. We want to hear God's voice that says, I've already taken care of it. It's done. Look in front of you. We don't want to take that step in the water, right? But sometimes, and here's Joshua is one of those examples, but God says sometimes you step into that water first. You take that chance. In fact, I may not come to you when you first step into that water. I may not even come to you when the water is up to your knees. I may not even come to you when the water is over your head. But I'll come to you. I'll deliver you. I promised I would. Where does your help come? It comes from the Lord, the one who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. And we're not used to operating that way, especially when we pray. One of our favorite prayers is, God, send me a sign. Prove to me that you're going to do this, right? Send me a sign. That's what that prayer is all about. Don't make me step that into that water first. Show me that sign first, and then maybe I'll trust you. But instead, what if we prayed, I'm taking the path that you've shown me to take. Now clear the waters in front of me. I'm in the water. Talk about confidence, a certain confidence that God will respond. With prayer, if we don't get an answer right away, sometimes our first reaction is to say it doesn't work. Or to say that God doesn't answer our prayers, instead of asking ourselves if we are praying with a certain confidence. Brothers and sisters, I encourage you to believe the good news of the gospel. What's the good news of the gospel? That we are to pray with the confidence that is reflected in the scripture and be certain that God will answer our prayer. Amen. Loving God, we do come before you now, and we are so fully aware that there are times when we pray, and the prayers that we pray don't transpire. Don't ever, ever let us fear. Don't ever, ever let us feel that that's a result of our doubt. Don't ever let us think that that's a result of a lack of faith. Jesus, don't ever let us think that that is because we have done something wrong. But rather, build confidence in us, Lord. Give us a certain hope of receiving that which you would place upon our hearts, because you are a God who loves us. You are a God of all good and perfect gifts. You are a God who wants us to celebrate and to be joyful. And so now, loving Lord, as we pray with a certain confidence and with a certain hope that only you can provide, we ask that you will encounter us and find us along the journey. Don't let the water rise too high, Lord. But if it does, then help us to continue to have that faith. We pray this in your loving name. Amen.